The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Dolan Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Sorry we weren't here last week. There was an illness.
There's two.
There was an illness.
Yeah. It was like that. When the store and my cousin Vinny got the flu and it had to close. It was just like that. But hey, you got classic episodes. Classic April Fool's episodes last week of the Nate Darling Show.
Oh, it was like an April Fool's joke. Get it?
Although,
get it?
Time it worked out, huh?
Not a joke, though. All the way back to show 41. The first April Fool's joke. Right, April Fool's show.
Show number 41?
Did you really get that from 7-Eleven?
I got it from the Bond Fair Market. It's even better.
Okay, I was going to say, 7-Eleven stepped up their game, if that's what fucking happened.
Well, they got a lot of fruit salads and stuff in there now.
I still would not fucks with that.
Sam just got in. He's got a...
It's a pasta salad with sun-dried tomatoes and Kalamata olives in it.
That looks hella good.
Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about Indiana. We're going to talk about the new Daily Show host. And we're going to spend a little time talking about what the fuck is going on in Korea.
Yeah, my people.
Just a little bit of time. If you want a more in-depth breakdown of it, we talked about that on the Well Hong podcast, which will be out on Monday of next week. So call those coming up. By the way, I want to thank everybody who shopped Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab on NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. It does help support the show. It does not cost you anything extra. So thank you very much for those who did it. And please continue to do so in the future. Because that's how we fund the show. It's how we pay for the bills. Otherwise, it has to come out of my pocket. So it's nice to have a little money for that.
I'm just playing like the Destiny's Child song, Bills in my head right now. And I'm just like really happy because I love Destiny's Child.
All right.
Well, I think you should actually sing it instead of just tell us about it.
I can't sing.
Yeah, we know that.
I'm not Filipino, you guys. I've been watching a lot of The Voice, so I just turned super racist. Like, those talented motherfuckers.
Well, they all have karaoke machines, right?
They do. And my people did, too. I just never got that gene.
Yeah, but the Filipinos got the black gene. That's what
it is. Yeah, fucking that. Fucking hell. They can dance. And then people look at me, they're like, why can't you do that? I was like, no, that's not my people, dude. That's not the same thing. They're not real Asians.
That is it.
That's why they
can do that shit.
All right, so we're all together again for the first time in a few weeks. Kareem, you were away. Let's start with you. What have you been up to?
Yeah, I went to North Carolina for a funeral. My aunt died. She was 101 years old.
Wow,
that's incredible.
Oh, damn.
Our condolences.
Yeah. Thank you.
And a salute to her.
Yeah, 101. I was like, wow. Yeah.
So you know, it's a. Man, my family do funerals on a different level, boy. Y'all just don't understand.
is a funeral more of a party, a tribute to the person, or is it just a wave of sadness with a lot of people crying loudly?
A lot of grieving.
It's both.
Okay.
At the house, we do a lot of laughing and joking and that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the church... There's a lot of grieving. There's a lot of screaming.
That's when it gets serious.
A lot of people passing out. Not passing out.
I was like,
dropping. You know, I say it was a good day because we didn't drop anybody. Nobody hit the floor.
Mm-hmm. That is a good day.
Yeah.
I think at 101, it's kind of like that's just props. That's right.
You grieve the loss of someone that you've held so dear, but at the same time, you're like, Grandma had a great life.
Yeah, she did well. Like, she did really.
Yeah, so at the house, Grandma had a great life, but in the church.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can't be doing that.
You got to put on a show for Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he can't see into the house.
Yeah, so we have a line. We it's almost like a manufacturing line. So you're like, okay, you know, that person's going to fall, drop. You know, that person's going to be okay until they get back to their seat. You're going to have to fan them.
What is this, like the wave at church or
something? Person, it's like, you know, this person, you're going to have to walk her out of the church. You're going to have to get this person out of the casket.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, shit.
Yes, it'd be serious. Yeah, it'd be
don't even let that person near the casket.
Yeah. No, you got to let them up there. You got to let them see him. But you got to know you got to be
ready to pull that person
Someone's
out.
Someone's got to be ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you like men, like the men in the family, you go around, you're you do your guard, thing, huh? And then you're on guard. That's pretty much it.
Oh, like the guys that would watch out for James Brown and his cape?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I want to put it in terms everyone can understand.
That's it. So you go, you do your view, and then you step to the other side of the casket, and you wait for people to, the women to come around, and then you deal with that.
I know Adam Carolla jokes that he wants to get a heavyset black woman.
No, he doesn't.
And pay her to just openly wail it when he dies. because nobody in his family will care enough. And he wants somebody to care that much.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the joke, that he wants to do that.
Yeah, you would be amazed at how heavy a 90-pound woman can be.
Well, it's dead weight at that point.
At that point. They just drop. I mean, you got to be able to catch them before they hit the floor.
Or then they're gonna be mad.
Yeah. And then you got to pick them up and carry them to the chair. Like, you think one person should be able to handle that, but usually it takes a couple.
We got your workout then, at least, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Diana, what have you been up to other than recovering?
Yeah, just pretty much recovering, staying in bed and recovering. Fuck if I remember. I, like, seriously have, like, no concept of time. And, oh, I've been dealing with, like, an insurance company, so that's been fun. Fuck them and the cat. I don't know. I just been chilling, I guess. I'm fucking dealing with drama and trying to recover and trying to get my Medi-Cal so I can actually see a doctor and see if I can, like, not be sick anymore.
Yeah, I was also a little under the weather, and somebody said they had something that sounded similar, but it was allergies. So I've just been doubling down on the allergy medicine, and that sort of cleared most of it up.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to be sick at this time because you're like, I'm sick. Or it could be allergies, or if you get both, you're fucked.
Yeah. 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 And you don't know.
Such hell. So I've been chilling at home watching. Oh, I finished Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of, like, know what everyone was talking about before. I'm like, what, a year and a half a little late?
Walt dies.
Well, spoiler alert. And I was explaining it to my friend because she doesn't really watch TV or, like, care about that shit. So I was, like, talking to her about it. She's like, so you finished? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, what happened? I got all into it. I'll explain to her what happened. And then I was like, yeah, he just died. And she's like, is that it? Like, well, when you put it that way, it sounds very anticlimactic, you little bitch. But it was really exciting. It was just, like, living in the moment. And I was like, this is probably what sex feels like. You get all excited, and then after it's done, you're just like, it's done.
Probably what sex feels like?
I don't... It's been a while.
Apparently. Wow. Well, I don't know that the Breaking Bad finale was like sex.
We all have our own different encounters.
Some people cry at the end.
Yeah. You know. I'm kind of an emotional guy.
Well, I'm kind of glad that he died. He was a dick. I really did not like Walt. Like, I really, really was just like, this whole show could have been avoided if he wasn't in it. Then I was, oh, then there would have been no show.
Yeah, the show would have ended really early on if he would have just accepted his friend's help of a job and health insurance.
Well, he could have just stayed and, like, worked for Fring. Like, he didn't have to, like, fucking take over and get all paranoid and shit.
Well,
or help Jesse. Why did he even fucking give a shit about Jesse in the first place at that point?
He couldn't just stay and work for Fring because he was afraid Fring was going to freeze him out and kill him.
Well, if he didn't fire Gale, then this wouldn't be a problem. This whole show could have been avoided. I think that's what bothers me the most, that this whole show could have been avoided if he wasn't such an egotistic asshole.
You know what bothers me the most? Sam is trying to open a bottle with a key.
Yo, bro, I got a bottle opener.
I have a bottle opener too, but I've tore it to shit.
I have one here.
You gave this one to me many moons ago.
Oh, okay.
Catch.
So I'm just trying to avoid a disaster where
thank you so much, God
where
bless
there's
you.
Beer everywhere.
Oh, I thought there was gonna be beer and blood, and I was like, 911, yeah, we'll take a field trip and do this from the ER.
He's still struggling.
This
with
is
it.
A demon bottle cap. What the shit, man.
Oh my god.
Hey, we're all right.
You got it now?
You got this. I made it.
Okay.
Made it through.
I was like, this is, like, really sad. Oh my, the kitty wants to play.
Hef is ready to play monkey in the middle.
Hef's ready to take you down is what's
going
to happen.
I'm going to claw.
People might have heard.
Eyes.
There was a little thud earlier. It was just Hef whacking the end of a mic stand.
Yep.
He just looked up and went like, oh, I'm gonna whack the hell out of that thing.
I really like your shirt, Sam. Where'd you get that?
Thank you. I got it from Cotton On Outlet, Vacaville, California.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was admiring your shirt too, Diana. I'm not joking.
Like
so Sam is wearing.
I saw it when I came
Sam,
in. And I was
Sam's
like, what
shirt.
The hell does he know about that?
Oh,
Sam's shirt
gave it to
is
me.
This. Picture a cowboy shirt with snaps and snapshot pockets, and a hood grafted onto it.
I'm going to buy
one. A very soft gray cotton hood.
I love hoodies. I want one.
Well, it's not really a hoodie. It's a cowboy shirt hoodie.
No, and I want one. I want one.
It's the best of both worlds.
I'm going to get
Why
one.
Why settle?
Is it? Is yes, it really is. The best of
it
both
is.
Worlds?
The best of both worlds. That's Hannah Montana. What you know
you
about
better,
that?
No, nope, I don't know about that. I elect
so
not
glad
to.
You don't know about that.
I did own a pair of Hannah Montana pants from Walmart.
So, Sam, now
that's
that,
embarrassing.
It's for a Cirque du Soleil party.
Now that we've swung around to you, I noticed you posted something on Facebook this past week.
Yes,
you
I
made
did.
A big announcement.
Yeah.
So let's lay it on the world. What will you be doing this summer?
This summer, me and my lovely girlfriend are going with a group of people from a church to the Amazon in Brazil, specifically a city. I'm going to jack up how to pronounce it. It's Parauapebas, something like that.
Sounds close.
Yeah. And there's quite the agenda. We're going to be bringing a bunch of various food items, beans and rice and other non-perishables.
That's racist.
For the CIA.
As well as clothing and school supplies. You can look up the city in Brazil. It's there's various shanty towns and stuff with in this general area next to the Amazon River, as
Are
well
y'all
as
taking some
bigger
supplies
city.
For the CIA.
Yep, it's all for the CIA.
It's actually for the Brazilian cattle ranchers that are cutting down the Amazon rainforest.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're also supporting. No, that's not true.
So, what's your cult doing again?
Yeah, well, we're going to be bringing supplies into this place, as well as offering prayer to people who want prayer, because that's what we like to do.
You're getting prayer whether you like it or not.
That's right.
So when is this happening?
It's going to be July 28th. Well, it's end of July into the early weeks of August.
So Sam won't be on the podcast for a couple of weeks at the end of July and into August because, and for those who don't know, the Southern Hemisphere, that's the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time to go.
That's always the best.
So you got that going on. You've got an Indiegogo fundraising page that your girlfriend has set up.
Yeah. You know, it's all out of pocket trying to get ourselves down there and travel expenses and all that are
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Sam, I ain't giving you no money.
I accept your support. Thank you, Corinne.
If I had money to give you, I would.
I'm
so I'm
not
just going to
giving you no money.
Well, Sam.
Next thing you know, you'll go down there, they'll have the Bible, and you'll have the Amazon.
Ooh. Painting a big picture. I like
As I pledged on Facebook, since you are going to the Amazon, I took the Amazon funds that the show made in March, and they're going to support your trip, and I even kicked in an extra little bit to make it a round number.
Nate,
so here you go. Here's your envelope. I'm not putting it on the
Amazon
Indiegogo, because Indiegogo is going to take a little bit of that money.
Right, right.
And that, go ahead and open it up.
Let's pop this baby open.
So as I say that, all you people who shopped on Amazon through
this goes out to you guys. Damn,
nice.
We got a healthy Benny in my hand here. Thank you guys.
It was a good month on Amazon from all the people who
shopped
through the shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. And that was about 80, and then I kicked in the rest to make it a nice even number.
Well, I'm humbled and grateful.
So yeah, that's how the podcast is supporting you in your endeavors. Can we write this off?
Yes, it's totally a charitable thing. Oh, okay.
Thank God.
Yes. Write
Thank
that
God.
Off.
Write that off. So, and you're going to be the videographer for this trip?
Yes, that's one of my main goals also is to be filming like a documentary of what's going on down there and some of the work that this
Keep
group is
the devils
doing.
Out of the rainforest.
Yeah.
That should be the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good title.
So are you stoked? Are you excited?
I'm hella stoked, yeah. I want to do a lot of traveling, you know, before I die, and if I can do some good at the same time. Right. It's not as fun. Maybe it is more fun when you're dead. I don't know. But definitely, if I can travel and, you know, help out some people who need a little help, and that's a good way to do it.
All right. Well, I'm not going to put the link to the Indiegogo thing on the site, but I will say this. If you look up Samuel Platz, Platz, and it's Samuel because he's difficult that way. on Facebook, you'll find a link to their Indiegogo page if you want to kick in some money. And they're always accepting donations. Oh, hold on. Hold on. It says here, so by the, when people see this, there will only be 2 days left.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Well, how long did she set this for? It's 22 days.
She shortened it because we need to have a specific deposit ready for the plane tickets in order to get them early.
Well, as we're looking at this with 4 days left, you got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Much like Smokey and the Bandit, a long way to go and a short time to get there. Now, what happens if you don't reach your goal?
Well, I do have a small reserve. Well, a healthy reserve, but it's not enough to cover the whole expense. But my lovely grandmother said she can help too. She's already pitched in a little bit, but you know, we're gonna make it happen.
Okay. I think you should bake cookies.
So you're saying I'm not getting that $100 back?
Nope.
All right. So good luck, Nate. Good luck to you, man. So yeah, look up Samuel Platts on Facebook if you'd like to kick into the Indiegogo fund. 2 days left.
Yep.
2 days left
to
contribute.
Left. Help him out.
Thank you. Thank you.
As we're looking at this right now, you are you're $900 short with what I just gave you. So
holy shit, that man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I'm doing good.
As I look at this right now, it's $590, so $690. So we'll call it $700.
Seven honeys.
The goal is $1,600.
Yeah.
So got a long way to go. So hopefully your deadbeat friends will start to pick up on it, and maybe some of the listeners of the podcast will like to kick in and help some of the less fortunate people in South America by doing that. You've already done your part if you shopped on Amazon, but
yes,
if you'd like,
thank you guys.
And it is a tax deductible donation to Brazil 2015. It's not World Cup. They're not playing soccer. This isn't just some sex trip, is it?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not a sex trip. That's not good. This one.
So your girlfriend laid that out for you right away. This is not a sex trip, Sam.
Not allowed. It's not happening.
You're not getting any south of the equator is what she said.
Oh,
way to weave that in. Nicely, nicely played,
good.
Sir.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's not a problem. All right.
I do want to throw out one quick story about my week.
Yes.
And I'm gonna encapsulate it real briefly. Starting up my motorcycle,
okay.
My 1972 Honda.
Kickstart?
Yep, kickstart. With a peg that's poorly placed, you hurt your shin every time you're trying to kickstart it. But having a hard time starting it. And apparently the old the gasoline that was in the tank evaporated and left this residue that messed up the carburetor. So we cleaned out the carburetors and still wasn't starting. So we had to get some ether and spray it into the...
What the fuck?
The air intake manifold to help start it. And then hopefully the vacuum that's formed by the running engine would suck all the gunk out of those places. Anyhow, I'm on the motorcycle, get it started, and my pops decides to spray a little bit more ether into that air tank manifold.
By the way, ether is very flammable, if you
it
don't know.
It is dangerously combustive. And
so it makes
boom,
the engine fire.
My
yeah.
motorcycle catches fire with me on and my pant leg...
What?
Starts to smoke, and I jump off hella quick, dude, and drop the bike.
Did you stop, drop, and roll?
I stopped, dropped, and rolled, and the bike is sitting there still burning.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. And my dad's like, hey, grab the fire extinguisher. It's right there in the garage. Of course, it hasn't been recharged for 2 years
and
or
you're
so.
Like, I am on fire, old man.
I'm on fire, and this fire extinguisher is not working now. I got my pants taken care of. That's not working. So we go turn on the hose. Hose isn't turning on, so my dad is literally smacking the fire out with his bare hands.
He's spanking the fire.
He's spanking the flames, dog. So,
oh,
anyways,
wow.
That was exciting.
Is he okay?
Yes.
You're obviously okay.
I'm okay here. And my dad has such calloused hands from his days and nights of working as a mechanic, he didn't feel anything, so it's all good.
Well, good. I'm glad we survived that. So we passed the 25th anniversary of the release of Pretty Woman.
Oh.
The most beloved movie about a prostitute ever.
That is the whitest shit ever.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great movie.
So here are some of the other movies that you were seeing at the box office if you were making a choice between Pretty Woman and something else. Steven Seagal was in Hard to Kill. Tom Cruise was in Born on the 4th of July.
They're all such forgettable films.
Born on the 4th of July was a forgettable film.
Never heard of it.
Well, I guess I just never heard of it either.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Millennials.
Yes.
Exactly. Hold on. I'm not a fucking millennial.
Yes, you are. Yes, you
no,
are.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Am I a millennial?
Yes, you are.
I was born in 85.
Yes, you are.
Okay. What are we counting as millennial?
You were born in 85?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're both millennials.
I'm a millennial.
Yeah. How are you apparently a millennial?
It's based on when you were born.
What counts?
Kareem, you want to look that up while I go through the rest of these? Bad Influence with James Spader. Blue Steel was another movie that was out. Lord of the Flies came out.
Yeah.
House Party, the original.
The original.
Nice.
The
original.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh.
Yes.
And Joe versus the Volcano.
Yes, there's a winner right
Tom
there.
Tom Cruise and his mullet, or Tom Hanks and his
Tom
mullet.
Tom Hanks, mullety juice.
The Hunt for Red October was also an option, too.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
But Pretty Woman became the fourth highest grossing release of the year. So there you go. People were very excited about it.
Millennial, a person reaching young adulthood around the year 2000.
Who reached what? What was that?
Young adulthood
around the year 2000.
That makes sense.
Fuck.
We are millennials.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've been grouped in with a bunch of...
Don't blame yourselves. Not everyone can be cool Generation Xers, okay?
I guess not.
The fuck? How come you guys get the cool one? I thought we were Generation Y.
No.
Like, why did this happen?
Why the fuck did y'all...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why the fuck didn't you swallow her?
What are you talking about? You're welcome for being born. I battled my way through.
Like, damn it.
You're welcome.
No. So. Like, condoms were popular back then. Why didn't you use one?
My parents were Asian. They're trying to make me. They actually probably thought I was trying to be a...
They weren't afraid of AIDS either.
No.
That was right.
We don't get AIDS or skin cancer.
I don't know about that.
I like that.
The scientific veracity of your statements might not be exact, but we'll see. Hey, in Finland, they're one of the top educational systems in the world. And yet, they are scrapping how they teach kids. They're getting rid of subjects and replacing them with topics as the country reforms its entire education system. We can't do anything here, but they're changing everything while it's still working. Only Far Eastern countries like Singapore and China outperform the Nordic nation in the influential program for international student assessment. Rankings, politicians and education experts from around the world, including the UK, have made pilgrimages to Finland in hopes of identifying and replicating the secret of the success, which makes it all the more remarkable that Finland is about to just ditch it all and have a radical education reform. It's crazy.
Wow.
So no more subjects. They're going to teach by topic. This is going to be a big change in education in Finland. That we're just beginning. That's according to someone who has a very long name with a lot of vowels in it, who is in charge of youth and adult education in Helsinki, the capital there, and the forefront of the reform program. Let me scroll down here. The city's development manager there explained, "What we need now is a different kind of education to prepare people for working life. Working life, not how to solve for X.
Yes.
Working life.
That's incredible.
They say young people... Use quite advanced computers. In the past, the banks had a lot of bank clerks toting up figures, but now that has totally changed. We therefore have to make changes in the education that are necessary for industry and modern society. So subject-specific lessons, an hour of history in the morning, an hour of geography in the afternoon, are already being phased out for 16-year-olds. They are being replaced by what the Finns are called phenomenon teaching, or teaching by topic. For instance, a teenager studying a vocational course might take a cafeteria services lesson, which would include elements of maths, languages to help serve foreign customers, writing skills, and communication skills. A more academic pupil would be cross-taught subjects, topics such as European Union, which would merge elements of economics, history, languages, and geography. Other changes, too, not least to the traditional format that sees the rows of pupils sitting passively in the front of their teacher, listening to lessons or waiting to be questioned. Instead, there will be a more collaborative approach with students working in smaller groups to solve problems while improving their communication skills. So, radical change.
Yeah.
That's just cool.
I don't know if I completely am on board with this.
Okay. Why not?
I feel like they're just trying, like, it's kind of, you know, I mean, I think it's good to teach, like, practical skills, but also, like, I think it's important to, like, teach geography and history and all of that.
Well, they are teaching it, but as part of a greater conversation.
Right.
So when they're doing the thing about the European Union, they're talking about the history of the countries in the European Union and the economics of them and how. So basically, they're not just talking about the history of, let's say, the Netherlands. They're talking about how the economy there works and what industries are there.
Yeah, I get it. I think, I don't know. It's part of me is, one of the things that upsets me that I see a lot in conversation is that people don't know the history of things. And this is just a small, just an example that I'm putting out there, is that a lot of people don't know the history. And I it's very important that we are present and we understand what's going on now and how things work now. But also, if we don't know history, we don't know how to fix it. And so I think it's like, it's so hard to teach kids now because there's so much going on. So I get what they're trying to do.
Well, you have those people that drink and party through their 20s and early 30s that don't know shit about the world. And then now they're making decisions or making comments about shit that they don't know the history of.
That's my problem with
It's called Facebook.
Yeah, and a lot of it is people just don't know history. And I think we can learn a lot if we still paid attention to history.
Then they call it a conspiracy theorist because they don't know basic facts.
Yeah, so I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I'm okay with it because I know that the European education system in that side of the world is probably gonna do a better job than if we were to implement that in America.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, oh, because they're very big on history over there.
Well, the other thing is, when there is a government mandate to do something in Europe and especially Scandinavia, there isn't a huge group of people going, we don't trust the government to do anything. We'll learn it our own way.
Yeah. So I'm okay. I think it's cool. I think it's great because I feel like they say they're going to just make it a little more now to the times, modern in a sense. But I know that they learn a lot because all my Scandinavian friends and European friends, they know their history. They know what the fuck's going on. They're very
They probably know U.S. history better than
oh,
we
they
do.
Definitely do. Yeah.
Right. And if you're learning history in the younger ages, and then when you start to get to junior high, you know
you get the gist.
Yeah. Who's going on to college and who needs to be and who needs to be prepared for a career where they're going to use their hands.
Yep.
So that they can be successful and provide for themselves
mm-hmm.
in a really good manner. When I hear how much a welder makes, I get very upset with, like, why didn't I learn how to weld?
Totally, dude. That's a trade.
So yeah. There are a lot of great trades like that.
Yeah.
But nobody in schools here is getting prepared for them.
Mm-mm.
And so, therefore, you have these jobs that are incredibly difficult to fill.
Yep.
And then you've got people who are like, well, I can't get a job. Well, what do you know how to do? I don't know. I can play video games.
I think that's just, like, fucking America, honestly. Our education system is shit. Because over there, like, I know in Iceland, do they have a prime minister? I think they have a president, right? Or is it prime minister?
It doesn't matter.
Anyways, their child goes to the same schools as everyone else.
Yeah.
And, like, here, that would never fucking happen. Like, Obama's kids would never, they'll probably the same universities, like Yale and Ivy League. That doesn't really count, though, but you'll never see them in a public school.
Well, it depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, well, shit, Amy Carter went to public school.
Which one, though?
Huh?
Which one?
In D.C.
Probably one of the nicer public schools in D.C., though.
Okay, so then you got to go back and look at the history of our education
system. No, that's what I'm saying. Our education system, I don't think it's that great.
Right, it's not.
It's not.
And part of the reason why... Okay, so the reason why you have the states' right issue with schools... Anytime you hear states' rights, racism is involved in that situation. So the states' rights issues as far as school goes and the way they dole out money for schools, it was all about white people not wanting black kids to go to school with their kids. And so they kind of doled out money that way so that the federal government couldn't necessarily control it the way that they wanted to. And so that you could discriminate without quote unquote discriminating against black kids in schools. So that's why suburban schools use their tax base for their school money and why the inner city schools end up being shit like they are.
Well, yeah, I know that. I guess my concern is that people will see this article and think like, oh, we should try something like that in America. And I'm like, no, don't do that. Like, that's not the same thing here. Like, we can't do that shit here. I think it would fail miserably if we did that here.
But we can.
We can do it.
The thing is, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
We used to have shop in those classes in school to prepare people for a real job.
Right. Mm-hmm. The people who were like, obviously, you're not going to college. College isn't for you. That doesn't mean you're dumb. That doesn't mean you can't be successful. You can own your own business. You can be
you can
be more
successful.
Yeah, you can be way more successful than a lot of people who are quote unquote smarter than you.
Right.
If you learn a trade and how to apply it.
Right.
Okay, sure. I think I'm misunderstanding. I were just going to say that I'm probably misunderstanding this in the sense.
But
like,
then they're I don't know
replacing, but they're taking out certain subjects, which I think is important to have, because we don't teach it that much in our culture just naturally like other countries do. Kind of like language. Language is a very important, like when you're younger, like you probably as an adult, you know how to speak at least 3 languages. Here, you learn Spanish in high school and you could probably speak to a 2-year-old in Mexico. Like that doesn't count the same thing.
But they're all here.
That's okay, fine. And you could probably have a conversation with a 2-year-old here in Southern California. But I just don't. I see your point, and I also think that maybe I'm seeing it differently in the sense of like I thought those programs still existed, so that's probably why I'm just like
a lot of them gone away, and they went away with like the music programs too.
Yeah.
And it was just as money was tightened up, they went, what do we need to teach? Well, we need to teach these basic subjects, and you had people who were getting out of high school who weren't really trained to do anything. They weren't really trained to have a career.
Right.
And so now they're out of high school and they know basic math, history, and science, but that doesn't really help you do anything other than get a job in retail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a basic warehouse job.
And at some point you have to ask the question of why they got rid of all of that stuff. Because in order for you to have, you have to dumb down the population in order to have people doing certain jobs for less money.
Well, and the other part of it was the manufacturing base went away. It was all outsourced. A lot of it was outsourced to other places. So there wasn't the need for a manufacturing base here. And the idea came around that, oh, we don't need manufacturing jobs here. What we need are people prepared to go to college, because you're going to have these other higher end jobs.
Yeah.
But there are just some people that's not where they're going to succeed.
I think college is a waste of money and time if that's not really. I mean, now with the college degree, like there's so many college. It got to the point where there's so many college graduates and they're just like working at Starbucks and they don't know what to do with their lives because there's not enough.
A lot of this shit that they say you need a degree for, you really don't.
No,
need
you
a
don't
for.
Need it for pretty much right. almost everything.
You know, it's as being someone who's in and out of the job market right now, some of the shit that they ask you to have a degree for is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things I learned in college, going to a 4-year school, was I learned how to learn different things and how to assimilate into different situations better.
Yeah.
And it made me a better rounded person overall, coming from a small town and growing up on a dairy farm in a small town.
Right.
I was put into situations that I would have never been put in had I not gone to college. And it was super valuable for that standpoint. But what I learned, other than very specific coursework, you know, I don't necessarily use it. And there are high schools that have better TV equipment than the college I went to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's only getting more and more so because the technology is getting less and less expensive. Kids are into it earlier and earlier. And I mean, even when I went to college, there were people who were like, oh, yeah, this studio here is not as nice as the one at my high school. And I'm like, fuck you.
This one girl, she's Pastor. From Hawaii. She came on a recruiting trip and she went to the same school as like Michelle Wee. And I think Obama went to that same high school. So it was like, it's really nice. She came to USF and she was, because we use chalkboards. She asked, what is that? She didn't know what a chalkboard was.
Yeah,
because they at her school they have like it's basically a large their whiteboard is basically a large iPad.
Okay,
it's like touchscreen and shit, and that's a high school, and we were a private university that apparently costs like $50,000.
Yep,
and I don't know where that money goes, but I don't know.
All
right. I'm going to throw one last comment in on that.
Go.
Someone else had posted on Facebook because I'm a generation millennium or whatever the fuck.
You're a millennial.
Yeah, that thing. Someone posted this video. A dude named David Brown. He does all this like music and weird thing. But he posted a very well-spoken, educated, kind of like free-flow rap video.
Is he African-American?
He's not. I think he's British.
Okay.
Skinny white kid with long hair.
Okay, because normally when people say well-spoken, that's code.
shit.
Right.
That is code. Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Right, right. But no, he did this video called Don't Stay in School. And he's not saying drop out of school. He's actually addressing, like, the song opens up, like, he's addressing, like, they didn't teach me how to get a job. Instead, they taught me, and he starts naming all these useless things that he's never used in his life. He's like, they never taught me how to do my taxes, but then he paints this whole picture of all these things he was taught that were absolutely useless. And he has this whole thing and paints a beautiful picture that totally relates in this.
He should have taken home ec, because that's where they teach that. Sure. Hey, so we talked about this a little bit on the Well Hung podcast that'll be dropping on Monday, but there's a thing going on in Korea, allegedly. they have an insatiable appetite for watching strangers binge eat.
What? I'd rather be the binge eater.
It's pretty intense, you guys.
Let's see if we can get this.
You know, it's hard to turn on a TV in the United States without seeing people cooking. Well, in South Korea, the big food fad is watching strangers eating. Viewers are glued to live streams of other Koreans binge eating. It is such a craze that the people consuming the calories have become celebrities. NPR Seoul correspondent Elise Yu reports.
Allegedly. It's dinner time in Seoul, and we're outside a subway stop waiting for Rachel An, who goes by A-Bong E. She's kind of a big deal in the world of mukbang, which translates to eating broadcasts. My interpreter spots her first.
Oh, I think that's her, in the red and the mask.
Spooky. 안녕하세요. 만나뵙게 돼서 너무 좋아요. 네. 네. 감사합니다.
You're a big star.
알아들으셨어요?
네, 네, 네.
She understood.
She wears a mask because fans in the neighborhood might spot her, and there's no time for that. With less than an hour to go before her nightly 9 p.m. broadcast, wow. A-Bong E must get inside and prepare.
배고픕니다.
네, 여기 중국 사동.
중국 사동이요?
네.
She orders enough takeout to feed a family of six. Tonight, it's spicy noodles, spicy shrimp, steamed dumplings, fried dumplings, and another platter of even spicier noodles.
That's all at the
By
subway?
Nine, the food's in place.
No, she just got off the subway. It's a mode of transport, Sam. It's not just a shitty sandwich chain.
Okay.
As she begins tearing into her food, the number of viewers swells above 1,000. That slurping
Sexy.
Is a specialty. Audiences like it when mukbang stars stuff their faces ferociously while responding to streams of live feedback. They'll watch and chat for hours. And this fad hasn't just made A-Bong E a brand. It makes her a living.
전업이 아니라 처음에는 거의 없었어요.
In the beginning, I earned nearly nothing. And it started out really small, but
don't give
now
up, guys.
I'm earning more than my salary at
don't
my actual
give up
job.
On your dreams.
For eating lots and eating loudly, the audience rewards mukbangers with virtual balloons that can be converted into cash. Tonight, in the first half hour of her three-hour netcast, A-Bong E collects what's equal to $200. By midnight, she nearly completes all her food. Thanks to her copious consumption, she and other prolific Korean eaters now have fan clubs. No one's more surprised by this than the tech company supporting this trend, Africa TV. It provides the platform these mukbang stars use to stream and the cash converter that gets them paid. Africa TV's Han Ye-sol says at dinner time hours, 45,000 Korean viewers watch mukbang at the same time, a threefold growth since this emerged in 2013. The top-ranked stars make as much as $10,000 a month, and that's not counting sponsorships from food and drink brands. But what's compelling so many Koreans to tune in?
왜 이런 현상들이 있을까라고 이제
nudity.
Africa's Han suspects the growth of Koreans living alone.
No, no nudity.
What? Just lonely people wanting to share a meal.
Yeah. Even if it's only virtually.
우리는
Abong Yi, who boasts a majority of female fans, says it's about eating vicariously.
제일 많이 보시는 층이
viewers watch who watch my mukbang are on a diet. And you call this a sort of gratification through others?
Eating is one.
This is absurd, Nate.
This is, and there's still another minute of this NPR story.
This has to be The Onion, bro. They're lying.
It is not. It is NPR, National Public Radio. And I posted this to Diana's Facebook page because she's always said she wants to be famous. And I thought this was a good avenue for her.
Absolutely.
But,
get paid to eat.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, and this girl she's not even one of the higher paid ones. And she's making enough to quit her job.
$10,000 a month.
Bro, I will slurp some spicy noodles for some bucks.
And tomorrow morning, it's toilet punishing time.
I know, right? Yeah.
Mokbang means toilet punisher in Korean.
I guess she doesn't have special insurance to pay for her colon cancer that's coming up.
I have no idea. But, yeah. So, anyway, we're going to start this without Diana because she's exited the room. I don't know if
she couldn't help herself. She has to go eat. She's got to go binge eat in the bathroom.
I would think it would be the other way, but, you know, she might be purging in there. We don't know.
Maybe she's purging.
So let's do this while she's gone.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right, first up in cool or tool, Kareem, hookers. In honor of...
Why hookers?
In honor of Pretty Woman's 25th anniversary.
Okay.
White hookers or tool?
Sam?
Hookers make me sad. Tool.
Okay. Diana's coming back in time for cooler tool. She's making a lot of noise with the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Hookers, cooler tool.
Oh, I love hooker. Oh, wait, no.
Pretty binge woman. Eating hookers.
Yeah, the Korean binge. No. You know what? Everyone got to make their own money. Cool.
Hookers. Yeah. Hookers are cool. They're pimps. Usually not.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
There you go. Up next in cooler tool, Sam, Finland.
Cool, man. I'm all about them Finns.
Kareem?
Cool.
Diana?
Cool.
Yeah, Finland's cool. A lot of cool hockey players from there.
Yeah.
A lot of hot blonde girls from there. It's all good. They can keep their snow and ice. Fuck them. And finally in cooler tool, this is a good one. Diana, Koreans.
You know what? They're God, I hate being Korean sometimes, but they're a lot cooler than what we're known for, which is Psy and apparently binge eating now in plastic surgery. That's the three things that we're known for. I guess overall,
you
I
said
have to
three
say,
things. I heard Psy, binge eating. What was the other?
Plastic surgery.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So I think we're cool. Whitening. I think we're cool, but I don't know. I also don't like my people, so I'm gonna just I'm gonna say cool because I want to be nice.
Girl,
yeah, I should
on.
Represent. Cool.
Kareem.
Uh-oh. I don't like that.
It's my Tai Chi instructor will beat my ass. So I'm going to say cool.
Sam?
Well, I'm down with the Korean. Give me some Korean barbecue any day. And
oh, yeah. Our
you
food
can watch
bomb.
Me slurp it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'm gonna play the card. South Korea, cool.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There you go.
Minor detail.
North Koreans, not so cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know the ones who have free will. So that one guy. That one guy's a dick.
Yeah.
That's it for Cooler Tool for this time. Hey, have you heard? The Daily Show got a new host. It was just announced. Who's excited? Anybody? Anybody excited for Trevor Noah? The Trevor Noah years to begin?
No.
T-no.
No. I feel like I never gave him a real shot because I don't know who he is, but like I also don't care that much to know who he is because I know I shouldn't go off of what I've heard, but also like I'm going off of what I heard.
Okay. What did you hear? Just about his tweets being not funny?
Well, I heard that, and also like some people are like, yeah, he's really funny, and then I'm just like,
no.
He hasn't really done anything that really just, I was like, you know what? You're really funny. Like, I think I've seen funnier. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a couple things, and it's just whatever. He has a Netflix special, and I spent like about 5 minutes watching that.
Ooh, that's it.
You know, it wasn't, I had Breaking Bad to finish. It really wasn't top on the list. And now I'm watching The Voice, so it's still not getting close to the top of the list.
Well, if you don't know him, he is a 31-year-old comedian. He made his debut as an on-air contributor on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, offering an outsider's perspective. He is biracial South African. He said, I never thought I'd be more afraid of the police in America than in South Africa.
I'm confused. Say that one more time. Never been more afraid of the...
I never thought I'd be more afraid of the police in America than in South Africa. It makes me... a little nostalgic for the old days back home.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. He's talking he was talking about apartheid. Right. And as bad as certain instances are with cops here, and there is a percentage of cops here who really, really should just be retired, it's not apartheid.
Well, they learned their apartheid from here.
Well, but they took it up a notch.
Yeah.
And they held on to it until the early 90s.
Yeah. Well, shit, we held on to it to the 70s.
What part of the 70s?
The early 70s?
I don't know. Red Fox was on TV long before.
Martin Luther King was killed 3 years before I was born.
Yeah. Well, so was Robert F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And it was still. And he was white?
Yeah, but still, there was an apartheid situation still going on.
Yeah, the segregation in the South. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
When did they finally do away with the different counters and water fountains?
67, somewhere around there.
Because that was never very made very clear.
64 to 67 is when it was legally, when you couldn't legally do it, but it was still held on to until the 70s, into the 70s.
Yeah, the worst thing ever.
Depending on where you go at now, it's still there.
Well, there was one, because they do make these big trucks that are essentially a large porta potty, but it's all on one trailer. And I saw one, and the name of the company was White's, which was just unfortunate. Just very unfortunate. So anyway.
Like, there's still sundown towns. That means at sundown, you need, if you're black, you need to be out of that town. Those still exist.
Okay. Well, I don't go there, so I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, Mr. Noah was announced less than 2 months after Jon Stewart revealed that he was leaving The Daily Show. By the way, he's only made 3 appearances on The Daily Show. He was on tour in Dubai.
I want to go to Dubai.
Well, you're going to Brazil, so there you go.
Oh, you're right.
So yeah, he's on tour in the Middle East right now, which is kind of weird. He's been on The Late Show with David Letterman. He joked that he did not like being introduced as a comedian from Africa as if he represented the entire continent. They make it sound like a guy in leopard skins going to come running on stage, he said. No.
I really don't like him.
Jim Jefferies is from Australia, and when you introduce Jim Jefferies, I don't expect either Crocodile Dundee or an Aboriginal guy with a didgeridoo to come running out on stage.
No.
And Australia is a continent.
Yes. I love Jim Jefferies.
That's right. Jim Jefferies is the shit. So we'll see. I'm out, I think. I'm out on The Daily Show.
I don't know. He has a really good agent or a manager or something, and I want them to be on my team because I don't know how the fuck he got this gig.
You know what he has? He has an international following. One thing he has that most American comics don't is an understanding of the continent of Africa and the rest of the world and how it works. So he brings that to the table. So if you want to listen, John
Stewart.
But
he doesn't want to be known as the representative.
Listen, but John Stewart at this point, he had to retire because if he keeps going, they're going to need to replace the desk with a pulpit because all he does is preach.
Yeah. Right.
He has gone from comedian with a show to preacher with a very distinct point of view. And that's fine. I'm just out. I'm just basically out on the show.
I feel like all comedians, in a way, eventually get to a preachy point.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I wasn't surprised that happening, but I don't know. I'm kind of, I want to give this guy a shot, but honestly, I'm just, there's other good TV out there. I don't really care that much about The Daily Show anyway.
No, I'm out. I'm out on The Daily Show. I'm out on The Daily Show, and I am only intermittent on The Nightly Show. I'm only intermittent on it. I wanted to love it. I love it some nights, and other nights, I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
And it relies so heavily on guests, and when he has to tap into his own writers to be guests, which is happening way too often.
His own writers are guests?
Yes. His own writers are guests very, very frequently.
That's embarrassing.
And they're very open about it, too. So they're not like hiding it with, oh, here's a comedian. No.
Here's like, one of our own writers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And
he wrote yesterday's episode.
And... yeah, it's...
See, this is why I don't want to be considered a millennial or whatever the fuck you guys try to call me.
You're millennial. You're a millennial.
Because this millennials will grow up with this shit.
Colonial.
That's definitely not what we
Isn't
are.
A perennial a Maybe flower? You. A lovely spring flower?
Yeah, you have you can have a perennial flower.
Okay.
Oh, but
perennial, that just refers to how often they bloom.
Oh.
There's an annual and a perennial flower.
How the fuck do people? What does
Nate's got the knowledge in his head.
I grew up on a farm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had a garden and we grew shit out of the ground because we had to.
It grew?
We fucking knew things because we had to know shit. And you know what? People who are older than us explain shit to us and we had to listen because you were told to respect your elders. You couldn't just pull your fucking phone up in front of your face and start flinging birds at shit.
That was good comedian preaching. I like that.
Fuck
that was real good.
Me. Jesus. I know it makes me sound like I'm 150 years old.
No, that was good. I totally resonate with that. That's good.
But I would love to just for one day like to go around with a soft mallet and just
smack a kid.
And just everybody that I see walking down the street who's not looking where they're going because they're into their phone.
Yeah.
I just want to hit them on just tap them on the forehead. Just enough to grab their attention and put a dumbass symbol right there.
Yeah, maybe a little rubber stamp.
So yeah, whatever.
Bro, we can make a game out of that and film it.
Yeah, it's called
who gets the most points.
Yeah, who gets arrested for assault and battery is what it's called. First of all, we couldn't let Kareem do it because they would grab him right away.
He might not survive, yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
It's true.
He could be the judge.
So anyway, in Indiana, they passed a law to protect religious freedom. Although it really isn't for that, no matter what they say, it's really more about
one.
Yeah, it's really more about saying, hey, we don't have to do your gay wedding.
Right.
And they're backtracking off of it, but they're catching a lot of flack to begin with. And my favorite was there was a pizza joint that stepped up and they were the first ones to step out and say, we're not going to cater a gay wedding.
Diana, you're honest, at least.
Diana, let me put you in the position to speak for all gays.
Because I'm so good at that.
Would you, in your wildest dreams, on your wedding day, think, you know what? I'm going to have a pizza joint cater this shindig.
You know what? I think we can start off with wildest dreams of having a wedding, period. That's
sure.
kind of
right,
out
right.
there.
In Indiana.
In Indiana.
And
a pizza joint. Knowing my bitch ass, yeah, but I'm pretty sure my wife's going to go down for that. Like me, yes. Wife, no. So
it
that's
better
a
be
big
the
no-no.
Dessert pizza on there, too. You know what I'm talking about? Those dessert pizzas.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds dope in theory, but I think that's a big no-no.
All right. Well, Pat Robertson couldn't sit on the sidelines for very long.
Of course.
He had some advice for that pizza joint. And other people in Indiana.
Last season's premiere.
Pizzas,
and the show's future doesn't look too
promising
either.
You might as
either.
Well keep your Radio. Mouth shut. I'm not sure I would serve pizzas for a gay wedding. Well, most gays, if they're having a wedding, don't want pizzas. They want cake. It's the cake makers that are having the problem. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter what custom you've got. It doesn't matter what holy thing that you worship and adore. The gays are going to get it. They're going to make you conform to them. You're going to say you like anal sex. You like oral sex.
Well, I
like
oral
bestiality.
Sex.
You like anything you can think of, to whatever it is. And sooner or later, you're going to have to conform your religious beliefs to the group of some aberrant thing. It won't stop at homosexuality. We've got what's called polyamory. Well, what about that? Well, what about polygamy, where you've got multiple wives. How can we say that one is constitutional and the other's not? And then, as you say, what's so terrible about having sex with animals? Well, that's going to come back.
Because that's the same you fucking watch it down thing, the road, you fucker.
And we'll, Christians are going to be saying, well, you're intolerant. You're trying to mitigate against these nice people.
We're all going to die.
He's old enough to die, like, yesterday.
That's true.
He's old enough to die 20 years ago.
Fucking hope he dies soon.
Five wives, four wives. What's wrong with you? The Muslims have four wives. And the latest thing, of course, we've known about it in the Quran. They don't like fornication. As a matter of fact, they'll stop the Quran.
Catch this little gem that he breaks out. This is the latest from the Quran, which I found funny. Like, they're finding new stuff in the Quran every day? Ooh, here's a hidden passage.
This thing, of course, we've known about it in the Quran. They don't like fornication. As a matter of fact, they'll stone people, kill them for fornicating. But at the same time...
That's not really true, because there wouldn't be any more Muslims if they did that.
Let me tell you what happened.
What happened?
That old woman put it on Muhammad so bad that he said, cover everything up. That's what happened.
Oh, so Pat Robertson, much like Punxsutawney Phil.
You know, Muhammad was married to an older woman, right?
I'm into it.
That's what happened. He was married to an older woman. She put it on him, and he was like, oh, shit, I can't handle this. Cover everything. I can only see your eyes.
Bro, you're just too saucy.
I don't know about all of you, but I am in favor of oral sex. And the gays did not have to talk me into it.
No.
So there you go.
Because we're so fucking persuasive because our lives are so fucking amazing. I hate that fucking argument so much. Like,
yeah,
we're going to force you to conform to our ways. Yeah. Like, y'all aren't doing our shit anyway. Like, what the fuck, man? This guy, oh my God. I don't like being angry and I don't like wishing death upon people, but this motherfucker needs to die. Yeah.
He's not going to die. He's going to be here forever.
Diana, stop making me have lesbian
Antichrist.
Sex with you right now.
Oh, my God.
Stop it!
You guys are really missing out on being gay.
My vagina
is rainbows and
shit. Enjoying it too much.
Fucking idiot. That's it. Fucking
all right.
Idiot.
How do you even have anal, lesbian sex with Diana? What
That's
y'all,
why this is so ridiculous.
Fuck everybody.
All right, let's move on. We have a one story out of Florida Corner this week because Phil Robertson, no relation to Pat Robertson, of the Duck Dynasties, was asked to speak at a prayer breakfast. A prayer breakfast. Now, Sam, you're going on doing some missionary work.
Yeah.
Kareem, you've been in church recently.
Yes.
You know what a prayer breakfast is? People have breakfast. They get around. Somebody says a nice little prayer.
Yeah.
And everybody feels good about it.
It's a nice little prayer.
A nice little prayer, yeah.
Well, so, or you invite Phil Robertson.
Maybe if you just buy enough health care insurance, that'll keep you out of the ground. I don't think so. Save your money. You got a 6-foot hole waiting on you if you have all the health care you can buy. You say, is it going to keep me out of the ground? No, sir. It's a problem. And you know something? You can't solve it. Just like you can't see in your sin problem. Oh, I don't know, this conscience thing. I mean, we just dreamed it up. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no good. There's no evil. I'll make a bet with you.
Blondes might have more fun, but brunettes have more bronze.
Sorry.
It's a welcome
interruption.
Two guys interruption.
Break into an atheist home. He has a little atheist wife. And two little atheist daughters. Two guys break into his home and tie him up in a chair.
This isn't a setup to a joke, by the way. I know people.
It sounds like a joke.
People are chuckling.
I'm tired of stupidity.
This is not a setup to a Keith Lowell Jensen joke.
Okay. Oh damn!
And gag him. And then they take his two daughters in front of him and rape both of them, and then shoot them. And they take his wife and decapitate her head off in front of him. And then they can look at him and say, isn't it great to not have to worry about being judged? Isn't it great that there's nothing wrong with this? There's no right or wrong. Now, is it, dude? And then you take a sharp knife and take his manhood and hold it in front of him, say, wouldn't it be something if this was something wrong with this? But you're the one that says there's no God, there's no right, there's no wrong. So we're just having fun. We're sick in the head. Have a nice day.
What just happened?
A prayer breakfast.
What just happened?
I could have sworn I've heard more Christians kill people in that manner than any atheist.
Well, look, I've not been to a prayer breakfast like this.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. Diana couldn't handle the truth, so she laughed.
She just threw up. I think she just
By the way, I am now, and I used to watch Duck Dynasty all the time because I found it mildly amusing.
Yeah.
The show's gone downhill. It's
Uncle
become
Cy
a little,
or whatever. He's hilarious. Things come
Uncle
over.
Cy, you know, I'm out. Yeah. Sorry. I'm out. It wasn't that good.
Right.
You got to be way better than he is for me to go. And it's, I'm not activist guy.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
But I'm out. I'm out. I'm sorry. Prayer breakfast?
That was absurd.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, Nate, you're going to have to turn on the game here in a minute.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. Hey, this is some good news for you, Diana. A lingerie company has released information around recent advertising campaigns with interesting results. The New York-based Adore Me brand say they were able to measure the impact of blonde, brunette, and plus-size models using three different advertisements for each. They A-B tested the ads and found the plus-size model generated 4 times more sales than a commercial featuring a normal-size blonde. That's right. The plus-size model sold more lingerie.
Exactly.
Sam,
but they're selling the lingerie to women.
Women. Yes.
Yes, it makes
sense.
Yeah,
because we want to actually be like, hey, we could possibly fit in that. Like, absolutely. I'll look at mannequins and I'll be like, that should be hella cute. And I'll try it on. I'm like, that shit doesn't fit.
Yeah. Whoever thought that little twiggy skeletal figures was attractive to men or women, I don't understand.
I mean, unless you're naturally like that, you know, it's okay. You're beautiful just
the
way
totally
you are.
You're totally beautiful the
but
way you are.
But don't force yourself to be who you're not. Because I know I have a lot of skinny friends.
I think it's the weirdest thing that we let gay men decide what's beautiful.
Oh, my God. Yes. Thank
Come
you.
On. Hey.
What do you mean that's a weird thing?
That is a weird thing.
Because they actually have style. Y'all fucking
they
don't
know. They don't want to sleep with them.
They don't want to
yeah,
sleep
they,
with Skeletor.
So they appreciate actual beauty in
no.
what it is
no,
what's
no,
fashionable.
No, no, no,
yeah.
no.
You know what they are doing?
That would be like
fucking with their head.
No, because if you guys are
that
actually
would be like that would be like you decide men's fashion.
Actually, yeah, you're welcome. I could probably dress a man better than a straight man could.
Maybe.
Well,
she does like my clothes. I'm going to give her that.
I don't know. I kind of want to say that helped my argument, but part of me is like,
Yeah. You're not trying to sleep with him.
All right. All right.
Carry on.
It's time to wrap this thing up. This has gone to all sorts of strange places.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. If you hear Cream chanting, it's because we've got the national championship game on. So, you know what, Cream? I'm going to turn your mic down while you're doing that, so it'll mitigate the sound a little bit. There we go. That's Cream's mic. This is from our friend Gordy Little.
Oh, Gordy.
It's spring's little bits. St. Patrick's Day has passed, and we've had our Irishman of the Year breakfast. We've donned our green clothes, consumed our green beer, along with our corned beef and cabbage. Time to turn the page. The season has officially changed, and after a rough winter, we deserve to be a little silly. I remember a childhood ditty. It's springtime, and the churds are burping. I haven't heard anyone burping except my own, but I'm delighted to have turned the corner on that. We can't wait for the hummingbirds to arrive. It started for me with the change of the clocks. I've always worshipped daylight savings time and would love to keep it all year long. I haven't seen any crocuses popping up, but that will no doubt happen soon. We should all take time to celebrate this season of renewal before Easter is upon us. Well, it's upon us now, so sorry. Planting our little garden, affectionately known as the crop strip along the fence separating us from the adjacent Morrisonville Fire Department, is always fun. Kay and I find few things more pleasurable than digging in the dirt, planting some seeds, growing some veggies, and sprucing up the flower beds. They're all near the top of our spring list of things to do. I suppose some of you are unhappy with the change of seasons. See, skiers and snowmobilers are praying for one more dumping of the white stuff. just like a bukkake actress.
Anyway,
while the rest of us are...
I think my mic's off.
No, you're on. We can hear you.
Damn it. I can't hear me. Oh, I can.
I'm
trying to change the subject so we don't have to listen to Swaledale News. Just kidding. I really can't
while
hear
the rest of us are getting our shorts and t-shirts out of mothballs and lining up the sandals by the kitchen door. What do you remember about from your childhood about spring? For Kay and me, it's mud pies and puddles, marbles and hopscotch, roller skates and hula hoops. I doubt if many children even engage in such activities these days. That's sad. Dear children and grandchildren even know how to dig a pot with their muddy hands and play marbles outside? Probably not. I still have mine from more than 70 years ago, preserved in an ancient tin first aid box. Do they start begging right about now for you to bring their bicycles out of the cellar or garage? By the way, that's where it snows here.
He does paint a lovely portrait.
He does. So
I want to be there. I want to live his childhood.
Do you? Do you
I
really
want to beg for my bicycle to be removed from the cellar?
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. I think it's the time in a Gordy Little column when we need to do this.
My favorite time.
Yeah.
Just the flow.
Yeah.
What you got, Gordy?
We love to be able to shut down the furnace and open windows, especially in the bedroom at night, to breathe in that fresh spring air. We pine for the first day we can head out through our river room onto the screened-in back deck and sit a spell, listening to sounds and smelling the smells of the outdoors. If you don't have such a Shangri-La, you're welcome to visit ours. Yeah. For us, it defines enjoyment. Filling the cups with hot black coffee and making our way there in our jammies is pretty darn close to Nirvana.
Yeah.
Walking outside is also great when the snow is gone and the winter salt and sand is swept away. Mud season is here and we don't care, because we love the change of seasons, and we know intuitively that summer will be here after a while.
Intuitively.
There are so many smiles to be seen compared with recent winter blahs. Baseball season is also exciting for this Yankees fan, and for Kay, who also enjoys the game.
Kay also enjoys the game.
This was the first winter I dedicated winter snow tires for my little hybrid car. I have to tell you, it was one of the best moves I've ever made.
Gangster!
Great tread, especially designed for our kind of weather, on rims that can be removed when the snow is gone. Then the summer tires are installed, and we're good to go till next winter. Why don't I do these things years ago? Live and learn, live and learn.
Live and learn, motherfucker!
I'm writing this a week ahead of the publishing date, so I can't predict when the Saranac River ice will break up and float either downstream or onto the banks and into our homes. We pray for gradual thawing and a smooth transition from solid to liquid as winter snows melt and flow from the mountains. We've had our share of flooding problems in the past, and we don't relish the memories. I leave you with another dated ditty. Spring is sprung. The grass has riz. I wonder where the flowers is.
No, he didn't. Oh, Gordy Little in the house.
It was special ups little. To the roots.
That shit got rizzled.
And that is going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Gordy Little. Thank you to the roots. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Kareem. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Nate.
And we will see you next time with another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye. And I don't scream and kick when his shit don't fall in my hands, man. Cause I know how to steal. But I'm not another fuck, yes, my lovers will. I lick the opposition cause she don't take no pill. Push my seat somewhere deep in